Good morning.
Good morning.
Joy to be in the Lord's house with you again. The title of the sermon today is, What Are Your Memories? And Linda and I have established a new memory today. We've met Noah. You notice Noah sitting beside Linda? He just came up and gave us a big hug, and now we have Noah in our lives. You see, that's a new memory. Isn't that great? We've come into the Lord's house. And Mr. Sue has reminded me today about this Lord's house. Do you remember how it's designed and organized? When you come into many worship centers, you go right into the sanctuary. This church is designed where you come into the fellowship hall to fellowship with one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, to care for one another, and then you come in to worship. That's a memorial, and this is this church's memorial. So we're going to be looking at Joshua today. You remember that the Hebrew scriptures are divided into three divisions: the law, the prophets, and the writings. Today we're looking at the prophets. And oftentimes you'll hear of former and latter prophets, and major and minor prophets. Do you know the difference between a major and a minor prophet? Sounds like importance, doesn't it? No, it isn't. It's the length of the book. Major prophet's big. A minor prophet's book is small. So this isn't too complex. So today, we're looking at a former prophet. The former prophets are Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. This is one of the former prophets. And so today, we're going to be looking at things that are, recently for me, are very important, our memories. This last month, I've been thinking about events in my life and how God's directed me to this point. It's kind of amazing to recall all of the twists and all the turns in our lives that's brought us to this place at this time this morning. Just think. All of us today are here in this house worshiping together from all different places in life. I could not have imagined as a young boy in Texas that I would be in front of you today. Do you know, I have been here and coming to this church at your invitation, your pastor's invitation, for more than 15 years. I thought of that. 15 years. That's absolutely amazing to me. Think how God, through all of His providence, has brought us to this point. And thinking of that, I brought some memories. Did you know during these 15 years, Reverend Chi and I became friends because we had a number of Taiwanese students coming to our school? And did you know for a period of at least 10 years, I went to Taiwan once every 3 months? Or 4 months, I spent a great deal of time in Taiwan. Is that on? I even was an exchange scholar teaching in Taiwan for a period of time. In Taipei, in Hsinchu, in Hualien. I've been all over. Kaohsiung. I loved it. I spent a lot of time there. And I developed relationships. For instance, here's a bag from Taichung Teachers College. Yes, I was at Taichung and they gave me this and I taught there. And they gave me one of these things. I have no idea what it says and I hope it's appropriate. Someone after this service will tell me what it means. I don't know. I hope it's okay though. I love it. It's on our wall in one of our bedrooms. And another student, after I finished a class, gave me this. And I have no idea what that says either. I hope it's positive. You see, isn't that just a marvelous thing? I'm amazed. And all the students, I kept telling my students in my classes, you know, students in U.S. classes, U.S. students, or they just sit there and listen to you lecture and then you finish and they just walk out. Did you know when I was in Taiwan and teaching, when I walked in the room, they all stood up? That was an honor. It made me really. And then when I finished, they all stood up and clapped. And that was an honor to me. I kept telling my U.S. students, you need to learn to do that. And
see what else I have.
Here's a little bit. I'm just going to brag on myself. This is my governor's award for governor's award for excellence in teaching higher education in the state of Missouri that year. Man, that's a great memory. I was so surprised. I was so shocked to get that at that time.
Here's another memory.
These are some of our grandchildren. Yeah, isn't that great? See, we have another Noah now that's been added to our family. He's just sitting there with Linda. And let's see, what else do I have in this? Yes. I'll bring these two things out. This is a picture of my father when he was 18 years old. He was a football player and handsome young man and had scholarships to play football and baseball. I think I've told you this before. And did a little time with the Detroit Tigers baseball team. He was a professional player. And I look at this, folks, and I remember, you know, all the anticipation of life before him. He was 18. And all he had all of his life before him. Isn't that amazing to think of that? And then, I love this one. This is a picture of Linda and I on the beaches in Mexico. We love to snorkel, we love to swim and play and get on the beach and just walk. You see, we kind of are like friends that just play together all the time. We like to hike in the mountains. You see, that's what memories are all about. And what you have before you is the opportunity to continue to build memories in your life. You can be making memories right now. We made a memory today with Noah. You know that's going to stay with us? We're going to remember that? Because he came up and he gave me a hug. That just melted me. I mean, here's this young, trusting, beautiful soul that comes up and loves you just because you're there. Now, at the same time, now, it doesn't matter what age you are or the memories that you already have of persons, places, events, or things that have made impressions upon you. And in fact, who you are, they've made you who you are for now and for the rest of your life. So you've seen children like Noah this morning already here. Do you realize that what you say and do really has an impact upon them? These children will be greatly affected by your example, and much more than someone of my age especially. So we all carry such a responsibility to be good examples for the Noahs of life, folks. They're looking at you, and your family's looking at you, and you have that responsibility. So God now has talked to me and given me, man, I look at these things, and I tend to remember the good things. Were there a bunch of different bad things back there? You know, God has allowed me to make decisions in my life. The good and the bad. I never have believed I'm a piece on a chessboard. That today God moves me over here, and tomorrow he's going to move me over there. You see, I have a mind. He's given me a mind to think. Body, mind, and spirit, you know that? He's given me a mind to think. So God has allowed me to make good and bad decisions. But in looking at these memories, I remember the good things. And in spite of my less than good choices, God has stayed without me throughout my life. I feel so blessed, and sometimes I fail to remember what he has done. You're in church. This is a memorial. You are remembering that God is here, and he's provided this house for you to worship in. He provided this house for you to worship in. And God often realizes that we forget what he's done for us. Isn't that so easy? We get out on the treadmill of life. You know the treadmill? That's a little gerbils, one of those things, going nowhere. We get out there and we spin our wheels, and we forget what God has done for us. In Deuteronomy 6:12, Moses issued a final warning to Israel just before they entered the promised land. Beware, lest you forget the Lord God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. The meaning of the Hebrew word for memorial in verse 7 is to remember. Given man's propensity to forget, It is little wonder that all the memorials that have frequently been played an important life in biblical history. At the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses built an altar. He built an altar of stones to commemorate God's covenant with Israel. Now, in today's text, we see God's command to his people to erect another memorial. Now, notice that according to verse 1, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, and let me throw in a little biblical history for you. In chapter 3, verse 17, that's where it happened. And it says that they all crossed over, which means they probably did it in one day. And you have to think about how many people, like going to all the mathematical computations. But they all crossed over in verse 3:17. So they made it over the river. Now, the Lord gave more specific instructions, verses 2 through 5. Okay, now, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of this river, Jordan, and place them at the priest's feet. And they stood firm. You shall carry them over with you. You shall leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Anybody know that, where that is? What was the name of that place? Where they lodged? Across the river? Where they placed the stones? Aha, look it up. You need to, that's your assignment. Look it up. What was the name of the place? And so, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark, the Lord your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes. Repetitive versing. According to these verses, 12 men were chosen earlier in chapter 3, verse 12. They were to go back where the priests were standing in the middle of the river, holding the ark. And each man was to pick up a large rock or stone from the middle, carry it to the side of the river, where Israel would camp in the land of, it's the promised land. What's it called? Canaan. It's called Canaan. That's good. You're all on top of this. That's very good. All right. Now, there are three reasons given for this that we can kind of draw together. Three good ones, because that's a good sermon division. First one, it's a time to be remembering what God has done. Why was that important for the people of Israel? It sounds like a class, doesn't it? It is. Why was that important? Because they had grumbled since they left. God led them out of Egypt in captivity. They grumbled at Sinai. They were punished and had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they were afraid to go in because they were afraid to go into the promised land. God said it's yours, and they were afraid. Why? Because there were giants there. They didn't think they could beat them. So he's saying, remember these things. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now first, the memorial stones were to be a reminder of their own personal experience. Notice that in verse 6, this memorial will cause the children to ask, what do these stones mean to you? These stones are, first of all, to be a reminder for those who were present of their personal experience, what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. Tell your story. Keep a clear memory of what God has done for you. Folks, this was a pure didactic period. This is a pure period of teaching. It was didactic in nature, and that means it was for teaching. Do you know what the real teaching institution was in Israel? And this is Dr. Miller's interpretation, but it's right. It's the home. That's before they had synagogues, folks. Where did they learn about the traditions of the faith of Israel? The home. And you know who was charged with responsibility for that? The father, the head of the household. And you know what he would do each morning? He would get up in prayers, and he put on his simbala, his phylacteries, and touch his mezuzahs, and they put all that on and go through all the rituals of the morning prayers. Guess what the little children naturally would do? These were teaching reminders to trigger the Noahs of the world to ask, Dad, what does all that mean? There's the opportunity for teaching. So these are pure didactical moments in the Bible here. So what kind of memorials do you have in your life? Whether you realize it or not, we all have memorials. I have this stuff stacked all over my house. And when I see it, it triggers. Those little synapses all come together and connect and send little signals in. And then all that memory from the silk down here comes up, and I do the association theory of learning. You all know that, don't you? Field and association theories. They all associate. It makes me remember what's going on. So these are memories of places, places that trigger memories, just as a memorial did in Gilgal. There's some significant places in your life that elicit memories. The little church where I first really began to hear about the Lord is such a place for me. And that's where I came to know the Lord basically as a teenager. It was there years later that I felt that I should be doing something in my life to serve God. It's a special place for me. It reminds me of things that have been done in my life. You all also have no doubt. And by the way, the Taiwanese Presbyterian Church of Greater St. Louis is that memorial for the young children in this house that they're going to remember. This is where they heard God's word. You know what an awesome responsibility that is for this church? And there are memories of people. There are memories of people God has used in your life. For me, many of them are people who encourage me to press on forward and not to give up. In fact, I'll give my parents credit for that. They always told me, in fact, I told my sister this, I was always the best. She didn't like that. I just said, you know, I'm so smart and I can really press forward. My parents said, you are smart. Go forward and do that. My sister never really liked me telling her that. I kept telling her I was smarter than her. I just knew I was. I was very smart. And so they kept telling me, just press on. You're right. Do it. And so they were encouragers. So how often do we sit down and think about memories and thank God for those people he's used in our lives? And I want to share one illustration with you. There was a pastor that I knew in Texas, a pastor of a large church. And this pastor was just a young child growing up in Texas, 10-year-old, and he went to a little church. And you remember the old-time tent revivals that Methodists used to have and all of that? He went to one of those, and there was a preacher there that got to know him. In fact, he even stayed in this person's house. And he got to talking about God, and he lived there. And finally, he came to know Christ through this little revival service with this preacher from nowhere. And years later, when this pastor was conversing with a friend, he was a fellow pastor in Dallas, he told of his childhood conversion during this special revival meeting. Christopher went on to tell how the preacher stayed in his home, enjoyed his mother's cooking, and took interest in him and talked to him, and was met by this evangelist heart to heart. And Christopher's friend shook his head sadly, saying, "This evangelist preacher that you're talking about, just a few years ago, I visited him in a hospital here in the Dallas area, and he was dying. And on his deathbed, he said, I haven't done anything for Jesus, this dying evangelist. He felt like he had done nothing. Isn't that something? The dear old man that was dying felt that he had done nothing in his life, yet he influenced one of the leading evangelists at that time who had written many books and many works. Yet he felt that he had been a failure. This man remembered what he had done in his life. There are memories of experiences as well of God answering prayer, God's marvelous hands of provision. I remember throughout my life how God always provided for my needs. I learned some valuable lessons of faith. These lessons on faith are not something you can be taught. It must be something that you truly need to experience to understand. There are also memories of the past. If you were to come into our home again, you'd look at all the different things it triggers. When I look at some of these things, I was going to bring you a big machete. It's great. I have this machete in a fancy case hanging on my wall. And in the basement, I have this great big hammock that's hanging up on the wall. And I remember taking students out of our comfortable little area here in St. Louis to the Amazon River, and I've told you about those before. Taking them down there so they can see what the world is like out of the Midwest part of the United States. Living on riverboats, sleeping in hammocks, using machetes to get through the jungles. I look at that, I can remember, I'm glad I'm not on those jungle boats anymore. It's not bugs and everything. I don't like all that stuff. So I was great memory and great for the kids to learn. And you see, I see that and these things trigger that. Again, I can also look at the picture of my father and it triggers all the memories of what he did. Like for instance, he was a great baseball player. Guess what? His son was afraid of the baseballs. I was afraid of baseballs. You know why? Because when they hit you, they hurt. I remember playing in a backyard. He got this baseball one time. We were playing catch. And he said, well, let me just show you what it is to throw it a little harder. He threw that a little harder. To me, it was like a rocket. Hit me right here. I mean, I swelled up and I couldn't see anything. So guess what? The next time I went up to play the bat, I was like this. Because I was fearful of it. But you know, all I have to do is look at this picture and I think of things like that. It was one of those where he said, get up, son, and dust off. That's not too bad. Well, my face was swelling out and it was turning colors. So all of these memories were before us. And I look at a small painted doll. You know those dolls from Russia that have dolls inside of dolls inside of dolls? And okay. I was given one of those because I had preached at an outdoor service in Latvia before the fall of the Soviet Union. There were over 200 people there. I rode there in the back of a little trailer from a tractor, and it was spinning snow. It was cold as all get up. 200 people came from all over, and they stood out in the cold and listened to a sermon from a guy that they had no contact with before that was translated into a different language. And I see that doll, and I remember those people. They were so wanting to hear the word of God in this oppressed Soviet Union that they would come out and risk being informed on by informants around there and listen to the word of God. You know what I talked to him about that day? I still remember today what I talked to him about. It was freedom. And they understood that word because they didn't have it. I said, you see this passport? I held up. See, I even remember parts of my sermon. I held up a passport. I said, you know what this is? It gives me the freedom to travel from country to country. And then I held up the Bible. And this gives me freedom of my soul that no one can oppress. I tell you what, those people understood that. You see, that's what memories are all about. The point is that God knows how we think. And that is the reason that he instructs Joshua to build this memorial. This was not done without purpose. So that each time the Israelites saw this monument, they would be reminded that they had not crossed the Jordan on their own ability, their own strength, but because God provided it for them. So I challenge you to spend some time thinking through your memorial stories and let them draw you closer to God and remind you of his faithfulness. Secondly, the memorial stones were to serve as a basis for sharing of their faith with their children. In two places in this chapter, the parents are reminded of their responsibility for the communication of God's word and is calling on their children generation to generation. First in verse 6-7, they say that this might be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark when it crossed the Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to that event. As with other memorials in the Old Testament, the intention of the memorial was to provide questioning, especially from future generations. Folks, Christianity is never more than one generation away from extinction. Do you think we're coming closer to that? You know how many are now declaring in the younger generations of no faith, no particular religious belief? That gap is growing. If we're not careful, Christianity could well be exhibit A for this truth of loss. Just think for a moment how far our countries have drifted away from moral foundations just in one generation. So what testimony do you, your youth, adults, seniors have for these little ones that are before you today? They look to you for your actions, and what do you say? Do you really love and care for one another? I look out at you, and you know, I ask you that question honestly. Do you really love and care? Do you love me? I love you, I guarantee. 15 years, folks. Wow, isn't that amazing? I mean, and you still let me come back. I love that. 15 years. And I really do love you all. And it still amazes me that God led us all here together at this time. That's incredible. Deuteronomy 6, 12 through 15. God's warning to Israel was not to let the environment of any society that surrounded them dictate your values. Folks, you have values. You're here to learn about those things. Deuteronomy 6, 12 through 15. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and take oaths in his name. Finally, the memorial stones were to be a signpost to the lost world, those people separated from God. Verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, and that you may fear. And fear means reverence for. It's not to boo. It is a reverence for God. It's always been God's plan that the whole world should know that he is the only living God. Not only crossing of the Jordan was a stirring event for Israel, but it was a terrifying event for the people in the land of Canaan. Not only a time of remembering what God had done, but finally it was to be a time for a renewal of personal commitment. In fact, you need to think about that every time you come into God's house. It's a renewing of your soul. You listen to praise and worship today. What's the purpose of that? To renew your soul. To recharge your batteries. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua had commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, as God had spoken, according to the number of tribes. He laid them down. Joshua not only issued the order for the men to go back personally, but he personally joined them and made their way back into the Jordan. It seems that while the men were carrying their stones back to the shore, that Joshua personally picked up another 12 stones and built a memorial in the very center of the riverbed as a personal act of worship. For Joshua, this was a very private act. It also was a representative of a pivotal point in his walk with God. Once the 12 men had carried their stones to the shore of Canaan, and after Joshua had built his altar in the middle of the river, he commanded the priest to finish crossing the river with the ark. Verse 15. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. He commanded them, and it came to pass, when the priest who bore the ark had come from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks. The moment that the feet of the priest touched the other side, the wall of water that had piled up for miles back came crashing back into the place. So it was not only a time of personal commitment, but it was a time of rolling away old defeats. Verse 19 to 20. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. That's Nisan. That's their first month. That's the month of the Passover. And they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones that they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. It's significant that this happened on the 10th day of the first month, because this was exactly 40 years to the day since Israel marched out of Egypt. You remember when they marched out of Egypt? Traditionally, about 1446. So when did that mean that they went into Canaan? They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. 1406 is about when they went into Canaan. So leaving the edge of the river, the Israelites went to a place called Gilgal. That's where they made their camp on the eastern border. 40 years of spiritual defeat. You remember they had all of the Ten Commandments there at Mount Sinai. They failed. They failed to send the spies in. They wandered for 40 years after all those spiritual defeats and failures had been rolled away. by the simple act of crossing over. It was the dawn of a great new beginning in a new land. The days of sullen refusal to respond to God and to Moses were gone. Complaining had ended. Hopeless wandering in the wilderness behind them. And now they were a people with a powerful new sense of purpose, determined to have a new territory with God. So likewise, folks, for the believer today, we should be able to look back and see those monumental occasions that stand out in which God changed direction. Can you think in your own life now how many times your lives have changed direction, how you moved along those ways? I can. Even just standing here makes me trigger thoughts of different decisions I made in life and how now we're here at this time. This is a time when we finally need, by a bold act of faith, to abandon ourselves to God, truly make a difference, and step out into the unknown to truly trust Him. The monument that was built with those 12 stones was to serve as a visible reminder of faithfulness. It's also a silent monument to the special day which the people of God boldly placed their feet into this water. It parted for them, and they crossed over. Remember always what your monuments say. They tell you from where you've come, and they're going to guide you across the river. Folks, I look at this church, and I see the memories that I've had here, the people that I can remember here. I see you coming into fellowship hall talking together. Then I see you coming here to worship. This house is a Gilgal monument of stones for you. And it's more than that for your children. I think Noah's asleep. Isn't that great? I think that's fantastic. I think my wife is too. Folks, this is your memorial. Remember it. And when you come in, you're to remember what God has done for you. And more than that, that's your history. Do you know you can't do anything about that? It's what it is. It's what made you where you are. And guess what? There's where you're going. Step out into it. Let this place be a reminder. I have all of these things here. This reminds me, I have responsibilities. Grandchildren look to me. Sometimes I'm bad grandpa. Sometimes I'm good grandpa. But you know I'm grandpa. And so, you know, you have responsibilities. Your teachers, every one of you. It's good to be in the Lord's house. This is your monument. Remember God. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we're here before you. How amazing that is to even say that. To know that you love us and that you provide for us even when we fall short. You know, we know our position with you in Christ is there, real strong. But we know our human condition is oftentimes weak, and we fall short. And when we come into this beautiful house of worship, let it be a remembrance for each one of us to know that no matter what, you're there with us always. And we can come in and forgive one another, love one another, and then come in and worship together because you're in this house. We thank you for the memories you've given us. And we thank you for the memories that you're going to give us. Help us always seek to know you and to remember you. In thy Son's name, amen. Amen.